welcome back to the Game of Thrones recap show here on Variety Radio Online, where we're getting ready to talk about last night's episode titled Book of the Stranger. My name is Brancy, and I am joined again tonight by Jess. Jess, how are you doing on this fine Monday night?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Brancy?
Wonderful! After that episode last night!
Yes, so excited! So I took up most of the talking last week. I will try not to talk so much this week. Let's let you start it off.
Okay, let's see. I want to save Daenerys until towards the end, because that was the ending. We could talk about some of the smaller but important still things. Let's talk about what happened with Ramsay and OSHA. Because I have a lot of emotions about that.
So sad to see OSHA gone.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was so upset.
I thought she was so close. I thought she was going to do it. I thought that she was going to actually kill Ramsay in the best possible way. And unfortunately, it didn't work out so well.
I did not. I was really excited for her to take him down. I was like, look, guys, she's going to do exactly what she did before. But no, it could not be.
Yeah. And I mean, say what you want about Ramsay. On top of being a vile, vile person, he is crazy like a fox smart.
Yes, he is smart. I will give him that. Definitely crazy. But I was very upset to see OSHA gone because I feel like they just brought her back, but now she's gone.
Yeah.
They've been doing that.
Can we just contract you for like one episode?
We're bringing you back, but we're going to kill you.
Yeah. Let's just fly you back to, where are they filming? Ireland?
I think it was Ireland that they do Winterfell stuff in.
Either Ireland or Africa. I know they're filming Vikings in Ireland. So I don't know where they're filming. It's New Zealand, I thought.
They film in a lot of places.
They do.
So it could be
film in a lot of places. Yeah. But I mean, like, yeah, let me just fly you out to a foreign country and you can just, you know, be here for a day. Sorry.
Just one day. That's all we need.
I feel really bad because it was like the last hope for Rickon. She's been guarding him this whole time. And...
Yeah.
She just kind of, yeah, I felt really bad.
Yeah, I was upset about it because she's so cool. And I was like, finally, Ramsay's going to have at least a little competition because he's just been taking down everyone. So I wanted to see him face off with somebody. Bless you.
Yeah. Thank you. I was definitely very upset about that. And... It just stinks because I really do like the character of OSHA, and it was just such a horrible way to go. But I mean, she's done it to so many other people. It's kind of ironic that it happened to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. It was a little obvious, I guess, if you look at it that way, because that's the exact same thing she did to Theon, except she didn't kill Theon.
Right.
Like she was going to kill Ramsay, I'm assuming, but. Man, that sucked. But the way they did it was cool, though, because he was like, well, I finally got Theon to talk, and then just, bam, he stabs her. So I guess it was kind of cool in, like, a way the scene played out, but I'm still pissed because it was OSHA, and I didn't want OSHA to die.
Yeah. But, you know, George strikes again.
Always.
Georgie. Yeah.
Killing it, buddy.
Well, actually, this is, I mean, at this point, it's HBO who's doing this. But, I mean, they're pretty much under his tutelage that this is the way it's going to go. It's not
right.
Outside of the realm of possibility that was kind of the way it was going to go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. Do you want to talk about, Meereen and Grey Worm and Missandei and... Ferris.
Yes, indeed. Of course we can talk about
them.
Tyrion actually did a little bit of negotiating this episode.
Tyrion is Tyrion is awesome at negotiating, and
He is.
it's always interesting when somebody actually places faith in him and lets him take over, because he is a very good, I mean, he has been the whole time. He's a very, very good politician. He knows very much like we were talking about Varys and Varys knowing what people want and how to get it and get what he wants from them by providing what they want. Tyrion is very good at that too, and he's really good at the long game.
I agree.
I found it very interesting the conversations that he has between Grey Worm and how do I say her name? Missandei?
I think it's Miss and I.
Missandei, yeah.
Yeah.
He invites the slaver from Slaver's to Slaver's Bay, and the two of them are outraged. And I love the fact that Missandei throws back in Tyrion's face, because he's like, now that I've been a slave, I have a new appreciation for how horrible the practice is. And she's like, yeah, how many days have you been a slave? Kind of throwing it back in his face. But he did a really good job negotiating with them. I thought 7 years was a bit much. To say that they have 7 years to basically create a new system to replace slavery in which people are paid wages, which is a good final outcome. But Missandei's and Grey Worm's point to that is that, look, a short time is not 7 years. 7 years is a really long time to somebody who is a slave. And he should know that after being a slave for even just a short time. Unfortunately, he also knows that the only way that he can keep these guys on board and cooperating with the plan is by offering them something that they know is in their best interest. And even having 7 more years of slavery while they put something in place is better than going to war.
I think that's the interesting part and the good part about Tyrion being on their team now, is because I understand completely what Grey Worm and Missandei are saying about it being such a long time for slaves. And it's true, 7 years is a bit much, but I think Tyrion has the experience with being in King's Landing, so he's able to make like those hard calls, but that he knows will be effective.
The other thing about that too was it was really funny, because he's like, I'm from King's Landing and we don't have slavery. I never grew up with slaves, and we were richer than kings, and the look of shock on their faces, like they didn't know. It was weird. It was very strange. But he did
It
bring up a good point,
was. Yeah, he definitely did. I don't know. Do you think when they, I mean, they did seem genuinely shocked. Is it just not being aware of him being a Lannister, or or them just being shocked that there's not slavery there, do you think?
I don't even know that they were shocked. I just don't think they ever really thought about it, because, I mean, they get slaves from all over. They can't possibly be that close-minded or that myopic in their view, in their own little area, because they have people who travel from all over to Slaver's Bay for the specific purpose of purchasing slaves. They have to know that King's Landing and Westeros in general is slavery has been abolished, because they would have to know that they can't sell there.
That's true. That's
So
interesting.
I just don't think it dawned on them that, he grew up richer than, basically richer than Sin, and they didn't have slaves. It's also interesting how Tyrion views slavery, because a lot of the indentured servants and a lot of the people that work in the castles, I would consider to be not slaves in the sense that they were treated badly like they are in King's Landing, but technically, I mean, I don't know that they actually receive a wage, but they do receive other benefits, housing, clothing, food, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's not the same type of slavery.
Right, exactly.
People can go to, I guess they can leave if they want to. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Okay. So, I mean, that's almost all of the little things that we have to talk about. Everything else is
big
stuff. Big stuff.
So much big stuff.
So, can we talk? Can we please just jump right to Castle Black?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I am so relieved.
I was squeeing.
Yeah, I was so squeeing
out loud. Yeah, I was I actually started crying because I was so happy. So, John, at first I was panicked because I figured he was going to leave just right before she showed up. And I would be like, no, please don't do that to her. But just as John's ready to leave, the horn sounds, they open the gates, and there's Sansa and Podrick and Brienne. And I was just like, yes, she finally catches a break. And then they kind of look a little worried. They can't really recognize anybody. She gets off the horse and John comes out. And just the look on his face of complete and utter disbelief that his sister, stepsister, is finally there. And the look on her face, and you know, when they left and they addressed us going it further in the scene, she was a bitch to him. She was a bitch to him a lot.
Yeah.
We didn't like Sansa when she first was introduced to us.
No.
But she's grown up, and that's pretty much what John said, was like, look, we were kids. but just the look of utter disbelief that they were standing in front of each other, and that hug
was just
everything. It was amazing. It was just wonderful. It was the best thing that's happened so far in this season, in regards to like an emotional catharsis.
I agree. Ever since the Starks have been like split up, it's like you have just been waiting for two of them to interact again, and then finally. I was convinced they were going to fake us out, but finally we got one.
Yep. And just that, the whole interaction throughout the whole storyline of Castle Black was just wonderful. I mean, they're talking about serious subjects, but the fact that they're able to talk about them together, that they had kind of a reconciling of them together. And it's funny too, when she's drinking the soup and he keeps looking at her, because she's obviously grown.
Right.
You know, he was pretty much grown when he left, but you're talking about 4 years. She was like, what, 12, 13 when he left. And now she's like 17. So, I mean, although she does look very similar, you can see she's matured. She's just as tall as him. And you could tell that he's like looking at her and kind of taking stock of who she's become. And then for her to basically say, you know, we were such idiots, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just go back and say, you know, don't go, don't leave.
Right.
And they didn't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what John said too. He's like, you know, like it would have mattered. And then her finally apologizing to him and saying, look, I was a shit to you. And he basically laughing it off like a true older brother does, you know.
Right.
And saying, you know, there's really nothing to forgive. And she kind of holds him to it and says, no, really, I really need you to do this. I really need you to forgive me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he does, you know, and it's kind of lovely.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a good moment for me.
Yeah, I like the little drink sequence when she reaches out tentatively for the ale. And, he was always like, when it came to the ale with her. And he gives it to her. And, of course, she snarfs it. because it's
yes.
awful.
Uh-huh. It's so good to see them in a good place now. Awful to him.
Yeah. What did you think about the whole interaction between him and between John and John and Sansa when they're eating dinner, and she basically says, "We need to take Winterfell back over again. You know, we have to." Oh well, she starts it when they're just talking over the soup, and basically, I think he's starting to get the idea that she's become fierce,
right?
And that she's not going to stand for any shit. But then over dinner, when he gets the letter from Ramsay Bolton, and how shaken he was when he got to that point.
Right.
And the fact that she could just go ahead and read it out loud really shows how far she's come at this point and what she's been through.
Right. The letter was definitely the turning point, I think, because he, you know, still trying to protect her, didn't even want to read it out loud, but she was like, no, we have to face what this is and what he is, and he's not a good person, and we got to stop him from taking what's ours. This is our home, so he shouldn't have the right to have our home.
I think also the clincher was the fact that they have Rickon. Also, I'm not sure, but maybe you have some insight into this, why Ramsay is baiting Jon Snow. Because technically he's a bastard. He doesn't have any rights. He's already a part of the Black. The only reason why he would be baiting Jon Snow is to send Sansa back, but that's certainly not the way to do it. So why is he baiting him? He's not going to gain anything from it. What does he gain from killing Jon Snow? Nothing, because he has no claim to Winterfell as the Lord Commander of Castle Black.
Right. I'm not sure exactly, because like you said, he's got no claim to the land or to anything, because you have to renounce all of that when you become a member of the Night's Watch. But so I guess it has to be about Sansa, but I don't understand how that is relevant, because he's not just going to hand her over.
I don't know. I think it has to do with the fact that there always has to be a Stark in Winterfell. But he has Rickon. Technically, Rickon is his brother-in-law. He married Sansa. Although, if Rickon is the last surviving heir, then technically he's the next heir to Winterfell, because he's male. So he would even trump Sansa. So he doesn't even need Sansa. He could just rule through Rickon, or he could kill Rickon, and that would be the end of it.
Right. I don't know. There's something that he just won't give up Sansa for some reason, because it's like the little things throughout the episodes. It's not like he's out there looking for her himself, but it's little things that he says or he puts in to just conversation in Winterfell. It always comes back to her, and I don't know why he insists on getting her back when, like you said, if he's got Rickon, and he doesn't even know if Bran's alive, so that doesn't even factor into it. For all he knows, that could be the only remaining true heir from the Stark family, so I don't know why he insists on getting her back.
Well, I think it has to do with the fact that he likes that he can inflict pain on her, and his girl got killed because of her.
Yeah.
I mean, his soulmate, basically. Nasty article she was, too.
Oh,
but, so that might be part of it. Part of it might just be he just doesn't like to lose.
Because why else would he just continue to do what he's doing, trying to get her back? I mean, it's got to be like a power thing, because she never stood up to him while she was married to him, but it's not exactly like she would win if she tried that. So So I guess he liked having control over people, just like he liked having control over Theon when he just completely broke him down.
Yeah. I mean, he is a pretty sick bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? I think that whole, we were talking off air during that dinner. There was actually something very humorous that that happened during that dinner.
Oh,
do you want to
yes.
talk about that?
Oh, yes. Those looks between Tormund Mainsbane and Brienne of Tarth. Let's just talk about that. And we weren't the only ones to notice it. The people at the table.
No, there were memes. Yeah, that was really very amusing. Ed noticed it right away. I was trying to keep a straight face. And I think Brienne noticed it, but I think she was kind of like taken aback because nobody's ever really looked at her like that. So
right.
She was kind of like, what the fuck? She was like, what the F are you looking at me for? Like, what
yeah,
do you
she's
want?
Like,
and then
why
it
are
kind
you
of...
looking at me?
And Tormund is like, of course, but of course. You know, of course Tormund would be attracted to somebody of her fierceness and her strength and her, you know, and her honor. And
of course.
I mean, they're perfect for each other. They really are.
They are, actually, yeah. Because that's what the wildlings are all about. You got to be strong to be a wildling, so.
So, that was, I mean, the whole story with John and Sansa pretty much made it. I could have had the show end with just, I could have watched the entire episode of just the two of them reuniting back together again, talking about Arya, talking about Bran and Rickon. Although I don't know how Sansa knows that they're still alive.
Yeah. I'm not sure either. Maybe it's just faith. I don't know. But, I mean, I guess it could be because Brienne just told her, you know, that she had seen Arya. So maybe she's like, well, if Arya's alive, hopefully the other two are still alive until proven otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, there was one more thing with Jon Snow and Sansa when she basically says, you know, we have to go home. And she says, no, we have to fight for it. And he's like, I'm tired of fighting. That's all I've done since I left home is fight. And I was waiting for her to be like, you think you're the only one?
Yeah.
Let me list off what, you know, like, I watched our father get killed. I watched his head get put on a stake. I watched Arya basically, you know, disappear. Bran and Rickon died. John died. I mean, Rob died.
Right.
You know, I've lost my whole family. My mother died. And, you know, I've been raped and tortured. I've been subjected to, you know, my childhood friend having to watch me have sex for the first time with a horrible, horrible person. And then trying to run away. I've been misused and mishandled and manipulated this whole time. But you want to talk about who's tired?
Oh yeah. Like, just what happened to her when Joffrey was alive is enough to equal up to insane emotional torture.
Right.
She's been through a lot.
She has been through a lot. So there is one thing that we did overlook. I'm looking at the episode now. The little snippet between Sir Davos and Melisandre.
Oh, yes. That's true.
Where she's like, well, John is the prince that was promised. And Sir Davos is like, I thought that was Stannis. And there's that look on her face, which was like, you know, I did too. But
yeah.
I was wrong. So it's just like she just keeps moving to the next one. She keeps trying to explain her existence. And I kind of feel sorry for her. Which is odd because I really can't stand the character. Not the woman who plays her. She plays her wonderful. I didn't like her in the books. She was just too creepy and too manipulative. She sacrificed Shireen.
Oh, yeah.
And who knows who else she sacrificed. I think she might have sacrificed Gendry. But we don't know what happened to him. We never saw him again. I don't know what's going on with that. And then later on, when he's talking to, he knows something's up with her, and he's asking her, like, what's going on? What happened down there? And of course, Brienne shows up and she's like, well, I know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And drops a bomb, like, yep, I know what happened. Stannis admitted it all before I executed him. Boom, drops the mic, flips the table, sets it on fire.
I love Brienne. She's just amazing. And then talking about, just right in Melisandre's face, talking about how she knew about the damn demon baby. I cannot explain how much I love Brienne.
Yeah, that was awesome. Oh, so what do you think is going to happen with Jon Snow? Do you think he's going to, well, oh, and then there's Littlefinger and Robin. I can't.
Oh, yeah,
that kid.
Littlefinger. Ugh, that kid is so annoying. So oh, my God, I have to tell you how my dad remembered who Robin was, because my dad is not the best with names, so he doesn't remember, like, a lot of characters' names, and he's like, who's that kid? Because, like, he recognizes their face, but not their names all the time. So I was like, you know, it's the son of, you know, the girl that Sansa was with, her aunt. And then he's like, he goes, oh, the one that was sucking on the titty. And that's how he realized.
The tit sucker.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just tit laughed. Sucker. Like, yes, yeah. that's him.
That is him. No longer sucking on the tits.
Thank God.
He's getting quite a bit older as well. So, here's the thing. Remind me. Mm-hmm. Littlefinger. Did Littlefinger betray Sansa? Because I can't remember far that back. Did he deliver her to Roose Bolton?
Well, see, I originally thought that, but I was reading an interview that Aidan Gillen did, you know, who plays Littlefinger, talking about what happened with the Boltons, and according to Aidan Gillen's take on everything, Littlefinger did not know how awful Ramsay was, and he completely and grossly underestimated it. So that's why he's trying now to ally with the right people. Whether that's what the writers intended, I'm not sure, but that was his take on it, that he just did not know.
He did,
know.
Though, but he did deliver her to Ramsay Bolton. Okay, I thought so, because I thought that's what happened in the books as well. Well, sort of. In the books, Sansa didn't really marry Ramsay. It was supposed to be Arya, but it wasn't Arya.
Right,
it was Arya's friend. It was Jane Poole. It was Arya's friend who they passed off as Arya. And poor Jane Poole did not fare so well.
No.
Yeah. So Sansa's kind of marrying Ramsay is an HBO thing as opposed to a book thing. But I think they played it off very well. I think it was unnecessary to have the character of Jane Poole. And it made more sense to do this. It positioned her to get to the north a lot faster. So now Littlefinger realizes that Ramsay is an absolute shit, and he needs to save face. I don't know that Sansa's going to want to see him.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to at all.
No. I don't understand it. I would have thought, if anything, that he was going to keep Sansa for himself.
Right.
Which was
I'm not sure why he even, what the motivation, it's been a long time since I watched the last season, so I don't even remember.
It was for land.
Oh,
I think it was for land, I think it was I don't know all of it, but I think it was playing the Game of Thrones, and he made a bad wager.
Yes, made a bad call.
So it seems like they're going to kind of go try to defend Winterfell. Obviously, he doesn't realize that she's up in the north at the moment, that she's north up at Castle Black.
Right.
They were discussing over dinner with the wildlings, how many men does Ramsay have? 5,000. The wildlings only have 2,000. And Sansa says to him, look, they're loyal to the Starks. They will fight for the Starks. If you ask them to, they will join behind you. With that,
right,
and with Littlefinger and the wildlings, they could overrun Winterfell. They really could.
They could, because the North remembers.
Yep. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. I do like that Robin steps up and he's like, well, you know, Sansa is my cousin. We should help her.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be growing out of his little brat phase. We'll see.
Yes. I hope that he will grow out of it. He's tall now. He's like
his tallest
little finger. Like, you are not that little creepy kid anymore. You're still creepy.
Well, he's still weird. Yeah, I was going to say, he's still creepy.
You're just not the little one anymore. No,
right,
yeah, it's
right.
Just the character. Just weird.
Yeah, very weird. Okay, so now we get to the big topic that we want to talk about.
The big one.
So, Jory and, oh gosh, what's his
Dario.
Name? Dario, yeah.
Yes.
So Jory and Dario make it to Baes Dothraki, and they figure that she's the temple of the Khaleesi.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about Dario is hysterical, and he keeps baiting Jory. He
mm-hmm.
keeps baiting him, like, man, old man, I can't believe you even considered riding that ride. You know, like, your heart couldn't take it. I have a hard enough time, and don't let her size throw you, and blah, blah, blah. And he just keeps baiting him and baiting him and baiting him. And finally, Jory's like, you know, we could settle this later. And he's like, no, because if I kill you, then I'm the shit that killed an old man. And if you kill me, then I'm the shit that got killed by an old man.
Yeah.
So he's like, you didn't get much discipline when you were younger, did you? He goes,
no.
None at all.
No.
So that was a cute little thing between the two of them. So Jory basically says to him, look, we have to put our weapons down. We cannot sneak into Baes Dothraki with weapons. If they see weapons on us, they're gonna kill us. And there's 100,000 of them down there. There's no way we're gonna be able to fight through that. And he's right. But at the same time, that's when Dario sees that Jory has the grayscale.
Yes. I was wondering when that was gonna come out.
Also, it seems to be spreading pretty fast.
It does.
There's got to be a way to stop it. They stopped it with Shireen.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to hopefully figure it out. My dad was saying he should just use it as a fighting technique. He's like, you should just wipe the grayscale over everybody he's fighting. I'm like, you know, Dad.
He should, or he should amputate, because that'll stop it.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering why he just didn't do that. I mean, isn't it his left arm, I believe?
Yeah.
I think it's left, so I mean, he could still fight with his right arm.
I also love the comment of Dario when he sees the Dothraki just screwing in the street. Like, I should have been born a Dothraki.
Yes.
And it's true, he totally should have.
Should have, yes.
They're like the comic relief in this episode, the two of them together.
Yeah.
So even though they're trying to do something like serious and save the princess and all that and the queen, but the two of them are like, it's almost like Laurel and Hardy, the two of them. Not so funny, but they're just the Keystone Cops, the two of them together, just like bumbling But amusing. You know, they're effective, but they're still amusing. Dario stabs the guy, and Jory says to him, you know, if they find this guy with a stab wound, they're going to be looking all over the city for us. And he just picks up the rock, smashes the hell out of the guy's head. No stab wound. We're all good.
Yes. Easy fix.
And they do catch up. They do catch up with Daenerys. And she basically says, like, look, there's no way I'm getting out of here alive, and neither are you if we just try to run. There's another way. And I didn't know what she was going to do, but it was epic.
Oh, my God. I loved it. There's a lot of reasons I loved it. Not just because it was badass, because it was her. Because if you think about it, a lot of the times it's her dragons that do something, or it's the Unsullied that do it, but it's her command. But this was her. Like, she actively did it. And she
this was old school Daenerys.
Yeah, and she used what she has as a Targaryen to her advantage, and it was all her, hands-on, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that it was old school. It was like she was brimming. She was watching and waiting and planning, and she came up with this idea. She waited till all of the calls were in the temple. Everybody left, and she set them on fire, just like
God bless.
You know, I'm not going to let you do that to me. I'm going to rule them. And they're basically saying, well, we'll never follow you. And she's like, well, you don't have to, because I'm going to destroy you.
I'm just going to kill you guys.
And she
does. In the best way possible.
And in the best possible way, turns over all of the urns and basically walks out of the temple, and all of the Dothraki basically see that she is the unburnt one, and they all 100,000 of them, minus the call, including the Dosh Khaleesi, all bow down to her, every single one.
Yes.
And that, ma'am, is how you do it. She won me back in this episode. I'm okay with her. She definitely, I was like, okay, that's why I used to like Dany. Dany was awesome.
I was so excited when she did that. I was like, finally, we got old school Daenerys back.
Right. But it was just, it wasn't pompous.
Yeah.
It wasn't overbearing. You know, they were disrespecting her. They needed to be taught a lesson. They weren't going to listen to her. And she needed to get out, and this is the best possible way. And the only way she could have done that was to become their ruler. So now she has an army again to add it to the Unsullied and all of the others in Meereen. She's got another army.
I'm excited to see what she does with it now.
Yep. So, what do we think Daenerys is going to do when she finds out that Jon is her nephew?
Oh, man. I don't know. Well, because they've said that there's probably only going to be 2 seasons left, I believe, and they're going to be not quite 10 episodes each. So we've got to be nearing the end pretty soon here. Like, if that's what the whole plot is, they've got to be starting to build on that really soon here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how she's going to react.
It was funny, too, because Jamie was watching the show with me, and she was like, you know, it's too bad that Jon and Daenerys are related, because they would be perfect together.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah, but I said to her, I'm like, you know, it's not like the Targaryens were into interbreeding. That's how they got the silver hair and the violet eyes in the first place.
How they kept it in the family.
They did. They totally kept it in the family. Technically, Daenerys and her brother were supposed to get married.
Yeah, she always assumed it.
Which, right, which, ew. But, and it was funny, too, because I was like, well, technically, Jon has a more varied DNA at this point than Daenerys does.
It's true.
Like, if we're talking about husbandry here, he's actually bringing more to the gene pool than she is.
Yeah.
But no, I can't see the two of them, although they are around the same age. I can't see the two of them getting together. I hope not.
I don't see it happening that way, really. If anything, it would be just that familial thing, because she's had no family except for her brother for so long, and then he died because he was just being an idiot, and he had to go.
So do you think that she would step down for Jon if he was the true ruler? Or do you think that she would try to take it over?
I don't know if she would necessarily just completely step down, because I feel like she let her own brother make all the choices and decisions for so long, and now that she has had time to grow on her own, I don't think she could go back to just letting family take care of it. But I also don't know if she would, you know, fight him over it. I just don't think she would bow down and let him do whatever he wants.
I don't really think he wants it. I really
don't
think
he
wants
either.
It.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
But on top of that, then, where do you think, I mean, how do you think it would play out with Tyrion also? Because Tyrion technically is for Dany. Do you think there's any way that he would ever switch over to Jon Snow? I mean, this is all theory and, you know, hypotheticals. It has not been proven that he is a Targaryen. It's possible that we're absolutely 100% wrong. So please just let this, everybody listening, we're just talking about possible theories.
Completely.
Nothing is set in stone.
I mean, but there are also theories out there that even Tyrion is a Targaryen. There's theories out there for that. So it's kind of hard to think about, because technically Tyrion was just brought to her. I mean, he didn't go seek her out on his own. There were like extenuating circumstances that led him to her. So I'm
not sure.
Yeah, but
he likes her.
Yeah, he
not
definitely
likes her, but he really truly, I think he really truly respects her. He wouldn't put himself behind her if he didn't think she had a chance of winning or a way that he could get ahead.
Right. Yeah, he definitely, you know, gets on with her very well. Of course, it's not like a romantic thing or anything like that. But, I mean, he did meet Jon Snow before, but I think he's kind of allying himself with Daenerys at this point.
And then, okay, so we jumped to Daenerys because we just needed to. It just needed to happen. We need to have that conversation. But then there's the whole thing with Margaery and Cersei, the Sparrow, and Tommen. So basically what they're planning is they're planning to have Highgarden, Margaery's aunt and her father. Cersei wants them to assemble their army and basically attack the Citadel.
Yes.
Not the Citadel, the Septon.
Mm-hmm.
So they want them to go in by force and take them down. And they want the Hand of the King, who is Margaery's father, I believe it's her father, wants him to step aside and let it happen, even though he's been told by Tommen not to take any moves against the Sparrows and against the High Sparrow. And Cersei's plan is, well, you weren't told specifically to stand down. you were told not to start anything. And he's not if Highgarden is doing it. Because he's not using the Kingsguard to do it. And he's not using the Westeros army to do it. So that's an interesting thing. It's an interesting theory of what's going to happen with them. It seems like the Septon, like the Sparrow, is being nice to Margaery. I don't know why, because I don't know what he wants from her, because he's telling her that if I were to let you go right now, where would you go? And she said, well, I would go back to my husband. I'd go back to my family, which of course she would. Where else would she go? She doesn't have any place else to go. And he's basically saying, well, that's not good enough. That's just a way for you to get back to your money. But I don't exactly know what he's expecting her to do. She is technically the rightful queen. She is married to the king. It's not like she can go anywhere else.
Right.
So I don't know what he wants from her. I do know she wants him to break. He wants her to break down Loras. But I don't know what the end game is with the Sparrow.
I'm not sure either, because he does seem to be taking a particular interest in her and using her to break Loras. But it's just, I'm just not sure why.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is because she is the queen, but I don't understand what that has to do with Loras.
And I really don't know what he expects her to do. It's not like she's going to give up all of her riches and everything and go wandering barefoot through the land. She can't do that. She's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
She has responsibilities. She's married in the eyes of the seven gods. She can't just divorce him. That doesn't happen.
Exactly.
So I don't know what he wants. But
I'm not sure.
Maybe our listeners have a theory of what he wants from her, other than to admit everything and give up all their power. I just don't know what it would be.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So if you guys have any ideas or thoughts, please share them. Love to hear from you.
Yeah. And it's funny the talk that Tommen and his mother have about Margaery, and he's like, you don't like Margaery, do you? And she's like, you know what? She's the queen. It doesn't matter if I like her. She's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah. That was an interesting talk there that they had when he basically tells her that, you know, we've got to be careful with these people, but Cersei's got her own agenda in mind.
Well, Cersei's still facing a trial, so yeah, of course. She's going to. Also, the one thing that we didn't talk about, we jumped all over the place, now that I'm going through the episode, Theon.
Yes.
Theon finally makes it back to Pyke, and he's talking with Yara.
Seems
and
a little convenient to me that he made it back so easily.
Right?
Oh my God.
Just exited the country. But especially since like everybody and their mother is searching for him.
Exactly, that's exactly what I said.
But well, I guess it was convenient for Sansa to show up the way she did that there was no other problems either.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of convenience going on with the arrival.
Little plot holes.
Just a little. But
yeah. So Yara's not having it. She is one badass chick.
Yes, I love Yara.
She really is. I love Yara too. So she's basically saying, you know, why are you here? What do you want? She's almost treating him like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, stop saying you're sorry. Stop crying. Tell me what you want. And he manned up. He was like, you know, look, you should be ruling the Iron Throne. Let me help you. Although I don't know what the hell kind of help he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically he's the rightful heir, but I don't know how he's going to be a help to her, but I absolutely think she should rule Pyke.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he even says that he doesn't want to. Like, that's not what he is interested in.
Yeah. It's funny, I just got to the part of the dinner where Tormund and Brienne are exchanging looks.
The eyes.
The eyes. Trying to see if there's anything else we missed before we get on with this.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, we're up to the epic burning. And
oh,
that's
God
the end
bless.
Of the episode. Yep, it is Ireland. The end of
oh,
the
okay.
episode, it says thanks to the Irish. Where was it? Let's see. Of course, now I can't go back to the page that I was looking at. I didn't see the coming attractions for next week. So I guess I'm seeing this for the first time. It looks like Littlefinger and Sansa finally do meet up.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland. It filmed in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So next week, Littlefinger shows up. It doesn't look like Sansa wants to have anything to do with him. We see Arya again next week, which she has been sorely missed.
Yes, she has.
And we'll probably determine who's going to be the king or queen of Pyke. And there's another Melisandre-type creature coming.
Yeah.
Oh, and something with Bran and the White Walkers. That looks terrifying. I can't wait
yeah.
to see that.
I'm really excited for that. They showed like a clip of it in the trailer for the whole season, so I've been waiting for them to pull that out.
Yeah, they keep trotting out the White Walkers every once in a while. They really need to deal with what the hell they're going to do about that, because they're coming.
Honestly, yeah, they've been kind of ignoring them for a little bit. It's time to do something about those guys.
You know, it's interesting because the only thing that kills them is fire. I know three things that can kill the White Walker. The dragon.
I mean, hey, I'm here for it.
Well, actually, is it fire that kills? Because I know it was the volcanic shard, but that's forged out of fire. So I'm assuming that the fire itself can kill them because they burn the bodies so that they don't become White Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
But can they burn the White Walkers after they're created?
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe that'll be something.
I'd have to go back.
Yeah, I know Valyrian steel will do it, as we saw last season when Jon takes one down with his sword.
Right.
I'm not sure about the
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, it has to be something. Well, is it Valyrian steel, or is it the fact that he's a Targaryen wielding Valyrian steel?
You know, they assumed that it was the steel, but it could be that. It could be that he's a Targaryen. I'm just saying. It could be that.
Just saying.
I'm just putting that out there.
It real hard, guys. I'm sorry. But I really do think that we're right on this one.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I talked the whole episode again. I'm sorry. But
fine.
I get so excited.
I love
the
show.
I just can't.
Understandable.
Anything. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's totally understandable.
Game of Thrones.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I think that we pretty much hit everything, actually. There were a lot of moments this one. It was a good episode, for sure.
I was surprised because I had forgotten about all those others, and I really do think that me playing the episodes as I'm on the show helps me to remember the different things because
mm-hmm.
I suck at taking notes. And I'm so busy watching the show the first time around that the last thing I want to do is take notes.
Right.
So seeing it again afterwards is kind of a reminder of, oh, yeah, we need to talk about this. But before I was watching the show, I was like, okay, so we have two main things that we need to talk about. We need to talk about Jon Snow and Sansa and that epic scene with Dany. And then there were all these other things in the middle that I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Game of Thrones. There's just so many characters and storylines that it's, I mean, it just takes a long time to get through them all. So that's why these are so long. There's just so much to say. I mean, you can't gloss over really anything because it all plays into the big plot of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, so do we know what next episode's called by any chance?
I think I have it pulled up. Let me see. Ooh, give me 1 second and I can tell you.
I mean, at this point, it's anybody's game in regards to the Iron Throne. I do know Tommen's not a bad leader so far. I just can't stand his mother.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Technically, he's not the true leader, but he's doing an okay job.
He's really not horrible.
He's not. He's really not horrible. At this point, I would leave him there, except for Cersei and all of them still have their claws in him. But he seems like a much kinder, fair ruler. Even then, he could get pushed around a little bit, but he listens to what people say, and he listens to what people say from different walks of life, and that's important.
Yeah, that is important. Okay, it looks like the next episode is called The Door. Very ominous.
That is pretty ominous.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it next week. As far as I know, I don't have any plans, so I should be here next week as well. What about you? You going to be here?
I should be good to go for that. So I'm excited to see the new episode. I'm always excited to see Game of Thrones. So,
Do we get any feedback from any people from listening to us?
Not that I know of, but if you
come
guys
on,
have something
guys.
To say, please.
Come on. Please interact with us. We miss doing live shows. We don't do live shows because people don't call in. But we really would love to hear your theories. Maybe Brancy and I haven't thought about something that you guys have thought about. Maybe you do agree with us. Maybe you totally disagree with us. Let us know. We want to know what it is that makes Game of Thrones intriguing to you. What are your theories? What are your fan theories? And also, once we get the link up and running, please, please, please share it. Share it. Have your friends share it. Share, share, share. I realize that there is an HBO. It sucks because we've been doing Game of Thrones recaps for years. And now there's an HBO basically like Talking Dead, but it's basically Game of Thrones recaps.
That.
And I was like, come on. They're probably all listening to that right now. But we've been doing this for years. We would love it if you could share this as much as possible because the more you share it, the more likely we'll be able to have the actors on for interviews in which we would take questions and possibly have you live on the air with the actors asking them specific questions. So please, if you could, spread the word, participate, let us know what you think, and we would love to have people come on as guest fans. If you're interested in that, give us a call. Not a call, but I mean, send us an email. You can contact us at thevro.com. You can contact us on Variety Radio Online on Facebook, at the VRO on Twitter. And I believe the same thing. Is it VRO or Variety Radio Online on Instagram?
It's Variety Radio Online on Instagram.
Okay. So that's how you can get in contact with us. There is contact information everywhere. If you're not getting in contact with me or Brancy directly, you'll be getting in contact with Amy, who is our fearless leader. And she is very good about communicating that to us. So if you want to come on and you want to talk about an episode, please let us know.
Yes, please do. We would love to have you guys and to hear your thoughts. So it's not just us talking because we agree a lot of the time, so we like opposition. Feel free.
Yes. All right, sounds good. I think I'm going to go have my ice cream and maybe watch the show one more time.
I mean, why not? It was a great episode. So
viewing number four, viewing number three or four, something like that.
I mean, hey, when it's good, it's good. So
it is.
I'll support it. But thank you guys for listening. And like Jess said, we hope you reach out to us. Let us know what you're thinking. Just tell us what you're feeling about the episode. Got some theories? Agree, disagree, all of that. Get into contact with us. We'd love to talk to you guys about it. But until then, we hope you enjoy next week's episode. And we hope to see you guys next week for our recap of, what is it, episode 5? I believe it's the 5th episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my God. That means the season's half over after next week. I hate that.
Shush you. No. Shush.
Ah!
Oh, and knock on wood, we have not made an episode so far. We've made it to every single one of our recaps.
Lord willing, we're going to make it. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, everybody.
Yeah.
but we will see you guys next week to talk more Game of Thrones. So thank you for listening, and we will see you guys back again, hopefully next Monday. Bye, guys.
Bye.